Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah, Hazrat Aqdas Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu. The title is Mera Koi Nahi Ah Tere Siwa.
Mera Koi Nahi Ah Tere Siwa. Mera koi nahi aah tere siwa. Ae khuda. Zindagi meri tera zikr o liqa. Zindagi meri tera zikr o liqa. Aur meri maut hai tujhse main juda. Aur meri maut hai tujhse main juda. Mera koi nahi aah tere siwa. Ae khuda. Tere bin kyun andhera hua. Tere bin kyun andhera hua. Meri duniya ka shams ko qamar kya hua. Meri duniya ka shams ko qamar kya hua. Mera koi nahi aah tere siwa. Ae khuda. Bahar toofan gham hai mukhalif hawa. Bahar toofan gham hai mukhalif hawa. Meri kashti kahe tu hi bas na khuda. Meri kashti kahe tu hi bas na khuda. Mera koi nahi aah tere siwa. Ae khuda. Teri rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. Teri rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. Har saza ki bari ho gaya na saza. Har saza ki bari ho gaya na saza. Mera koi nahi aah tere siwa. Ae khuda. Tere dil ya rahmat ka hai aasra. Tere dil ya rahmat ka hai آسرا ورنہ خوتا ہی آما نصیب نوا ورنہ خوتا ہی آما نصیب نوا میرا کوئی نہیں آہتے ریسی آن میرا کوئی نہیں آہتے ریسی آن اے خدا اے خدا اے خدا اے خدا اے خدا خدا اے خدا
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفا اما بعد this beautiful بیان of our honorable illustrious dada شیخ عارف باللہ روم وقت تبریز زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکی محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ Hazrat is teaching us in this beautiful bayan of his which Hazrat has presented in poetic form to give us great enjoyment in our deen and make us realize what is the object and purpose of our life. Here Hazrat is explaining a very high position which we all have to aspire and we all have to make an effort to reach that position which is in the hadith termed as kayfiyati ihsan. That a person always realizes the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent, as Hazrat beautifully used to mention, that doesn't Allah ta'ala says, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda? Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? That a person should realize only Allah is sufficient for me. Nobody else can do anything for me besides Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah ta'ala is qadir mutlaq. Allah is that great being who has given us life out of extreme love and mercy. So only Allah Ta'ala can do anything and everything for us. And forget doing anything, Allah Ta'ala knows our temperaments. Allah knows our needs better than us. And that is why we have to make the zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in such a way that the reality of La Ilaha Illallah penetrates my heart, all our hearts. That you start with La ilaha illallah, our Hazrat has explained so beautifully, that you see two people standing at the bank of a river, and it seems like they both in the same position, but both of them are far different in position. The one has swam through the river across, he knows the current, everything of and the flow of the river, and he has come back already. And the other one is still standing at the river thinking, will I able to go and swim into this river or not? So we are still in that initial stage that we start making zikr, La ilaha illallah. We still only know and don't even really know the outward meaning that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Whereas there is, the reality is, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have swum through this river of the love of Allah ta'ala, as Hazrat is explaining in this beautiful poem, that they have swum through this river of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are teaching us that what is the loving meaning, what is the real meaning of the kalima La ilaha illallah. Now when a person says La ilaha illallah, then a person is telling, oh Allah, aapke siwa aur koi hai nahi meri liye. That, oh Allah, who is there for me besides you, oh Allah? If a husband or the wife tells him that who is there for me besides you? My father is not around, I don't have brothers. If he's got a heart, his heart will melt and now he will take care of her. Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is more kind than all the mothers, fathers, all the husbands in the world, when we were feeling, we say, Ya Allah, there is nobody for me besides you, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes in josh upon such a person. So Hazrat is teaching us here that how we should turn to Allah and how where we should be reaching, that mera koi nahi ah tere siwa, ey khuda, ey khuda, ey khuda, that O Allah Rabbul Izzat, there is nobody for me besides you, O Allah. Who can I turn to, O Allah?
and you have given me my life, so Allah, I turn to you for everything, ya Allah. Zindagi meri hai tera zikr o liqa, aur meri maut hai tujhse hu main juda. Then a person will realize what is the essence of life, and then a person will realize that how you get peace and contentment in your life. Zindagi meri hai tera zikr o liqa, that my real life is when I engage in your zikr and I engage in meeting with you, O Allah. In other words, in your obedience all the time. And this is where our zikr has to take us. It starts on the tongue, and as ulama have explained so beautifully, Ala bi zikrillah tatma'innul qulub, that with the zikr of Allah you will get peace and contentment in life. But not just what the zikr, not just what the outward tasbih in our hand, that is fi zikrillah. The tafsir of this is that now you must get soaked in the remembrance of Allah, the obedience of Allah, that all the time you realize Allah is with me, am I doing what Allah loves me to be doing. Then a person will feel that he's got real life. And then a person in that condition, that very close connection with Allah, the moment he slips slightly, he realizes that this is my state of mort, that I'm unmindful of you for that split moment also. Allah Ta'ala explains, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Shaitan will keep on attacking us. Even the pious servants of Allah, shaitan attacks. But the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment they realize a slight bit of unmindfulness, they realize this is the attack of shaitan. Tazakkaru. They become aware that what is happening here. How am I unmindful of Allah Rabbul Izzat? How am I so engrossed in unnecessary the politics of this world, the news of this world? What is, how could my attention turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Immediately, تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا مُبْصِرُونَ. Now their hearts open up, they start making tawbah and istighfar. And then a person realizes, تَيْرِ بِنْ كُيُوْ أَنْدَيْرَا أَنْدَيْرَا هُوَا مِيرَا دُنْيَا كَ شَمْسُ وَقَمَرْ كِيَا هُوَا. That, oh Allah, when I disconnected myself from you, then how my whole life became a life of darkness. Now all types of worries, depression, all these things are coming in my life. Why is this? Why is it that Allahu Akbar, the beautiful sun of my life has, and the beautiful moon of my life has become dumb? That now I'm living in this world, but I'm not at ease. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ عَارَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, doesn't take heed of the commands of Allah, he puts himself in a straitened life, in a difficult condition. And then he doesn't realize, and he thinks everything else is going against me and blaming everybody else. Whereas the reality is, Hazrat teaches us how to come out of this condition. That behre tufani gham hai mukhalif hawa, mere kasti ka hai tu hi bas khuda khuda. That, oh Allah, it seems now I'm in that ocean, and in that ocean now there is a storm that is going against me, and the strong winds of that storm is blowing my ship in the opposite direction. So this grief that I have got, oh Allah, I turn my attention to you, that now who will steer the ship of mine? Who can bring me back onto that road, that all these worries and turmoil, like presently that we are going through, and as our Hazrat teaches us so beautifully, that we have to fafirru ila Allah, run towards Allah. Don't run in the opposite direction and become overtaken with more fear and that this thing will cause me harm, that thing will cause me harm. No, alayhis Allah bi kafin abda. Is Allah not sufficient for us? Is Allah, won't Allah take care of us? Allah knows our condition better than ourselves. So turn to Allah and say, Allah, only you can steer my ship out of this problems, out of this turmoil. That only you are the best pilot of my ship. And, oh Allah, teri rahmat ka khursid roshan hua, har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. When a person realizes, he turns to Allah, and how to turn to Allah? With istighfar, with tawbah, coming back onto the sunnah lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and realizing and acknowledging our mistakes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether we acknowledge or not, Allah knows our condition. But when a person accepts that, oh Allah, please do not punish me, I accept, I acknowledge, I'm the worst sinner on the face of the earth. Because of me, all these problems, all these conditions of the world is taking place, oh Allah, please forgive me. When a person begs the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person sees, Tere Rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. The beautiful sun of the mercy of Allah now has enlightened my heart. A person's heart will feel, now you feel light, that something has come into my heart, in my life. When a person makes a sincere tawbah, and now that person that was doomed for a severe punishment, and when a person realizes, wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, oh Allah, please forgive us, wipe out our past sins, all our records, oh Allah, to such an extent that you save my, turn my bad into good. Now people only see good. And then, tafaddal alayna bifununi lahda, that now send lot of favors upon us. Ma istiqaqina biafanin al-iqab. Although I am worth the worst of punishment. But oh Allah, you have promised, if we turn to you, your rahmat will come down. In udtum udna, if you turn to Allah, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, turn to Allah, Allah's rahmat will come in yours. So Hazrat is explaining that now Allah, that sun of your mercy has just shown into my life, and now I've got direction in my life. But now a person realizes that although I have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality I'll only know on the day of Qiyamah. So never ever think that I have become a wali of Allah. I have become very pious. Tell all the time, live in a state of al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Have fear that I am going to stand in the court of Allah. On the other hand, don't have so much fear that you go into depression. Have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat is teaching us, despite this high position of the love of Allah, all the time in the presence of Allah, yet not for a moment do the friends of Allah think that we are very pious. We are close to Allah. All the time they are hoping, Tere darya-e rahmat ka hai aasra, warna akhtar hai aamal se benawa. Hazrat is teaching us this great lesson that, oh Allah, we only have hope in the ocean of your mercy. That we are all the time begging for your mercy with istighfar, with tawbah, and with obedience to you according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise our actions are not worth acceptance in the least, but oh Allah. But you are so kind, you brought us here in this Mubarak Majlis. You bring us to your house, this is the sign that you want to accept us. Although we spoil our actions, but oh Allah, we still have hope in your mercy. And this is the only way we can have hope in the mercy of Allah, when we try our best in the obedience, and we realize that it cannot be worth accepted, but Allah has given us tawfiq to try, so Allah Ta'ala's mercy, inshallah, will engulf us all. Allah give us tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Muhammadu wa nasalli ala rasulihi kareem. Amma ba'd. In the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, in which he discusses certain principles by which a person, the ummah, will come out from all of the problems and come into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point he mentioned was to recite the Quran Sharif and to teach the Quran Sharif. And in the ending he mentions here that we must establish makatib, madrasas, and adults also must spend some time to learn the Quran Sharif. And then he says other demands of the Quran Sharif also. Once the Quran Majid has been learnt, it should never be forgotten. Whatever path has been learnt should always be remembered. Number two, a person who wishes to learn the translation of the Qur'an-i Majid should not undertake the task by means of self-study. In self-study of the Qur'an's translation is the grave danger of misunderstanding. Its translation should be studied under the guidance of an alim. Point number three, the Qur'an-i Majid demands the utmost respect and reverence. Never stretch the legs in its direction, nor turn your back towards it. Do not sit higher than the Qur'an and Majid, and do not place it on the ground. Place it on a desk or pillow or any high place. Number four, torn, tattered, and unusable pages and copies of the Quran and Majid should be wrapped in a clean cloth and buried in such a spot which will not be trampled underfoot. If you put any pieces of the Quran, pages of the Quran Sharif, copies of the Quran and Majid, and wrap it up and bury it. Number 5, when reciting the Quran and Majid, contemplate that you are conversing with Allah Ta'ala. The spiritual light with which the heart will then become imbued will be vividly perceived. You will feel a spiritual light when you make that intention. The Nazir continues the fourth point. Love for Allah and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has in him three things will experience the sweetness of Iman. Number one, his love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more than that for all and everything. Love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more than everything else. He will get the sweetness of Iman. Number two, his love for another person is motivated only by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, his love and friendship with people are not for worldly motives. He defends people because they happen to be pious men of Allah Ta'ala. And number three, a man who after having been saved by Allah Ta'ala from kufr, hates returning to kufr as much as he hates falling into a fire. So much of love he's got for Iman. So when he's got these three qualities, he will experience the sweetness of Iman. Hadith number two. Hadith Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you cannot have total Iman as long as you do not love me more than your father, your children and all people. Hadith number three. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu raised that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man cannot be perfect of Iman as long as his love for me is not more than his love for his whole family and for all the people. Also in Bukhari Sharif it is narrated that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most assuredly I love you more than all things but my own life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by the being in whose power is my life, one is not a perfect believer until one loves me more than one's own life. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu reflected and exclaimed, I now love you more than my own life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, now you are a perfect Muslim. Initially, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu did not reflect and thought that since one is more affected more by difficulty on oneself than difficulty on another, one's life must be dearer than another's. However, upon reflection, he realized, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Muslim will be ready to sacrifice his own life. If a choice has to be made between one's own life and the dignity and honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the ordinary Muslim will be prepared to lay down his life as an altar of sacrifice. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu thus realized that in actual fact, his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was greater than his love for his own life. And so it was and remained until the end. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu remained steadfast on the deen, never turning his face away from the deen by the slightest degree. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. حضر الشيخ الحديث مولانا محمد زكريا صاحب رحمة الله عليه is written that for every person our taqdeer is written and whatever is going to happen in our life that has been ordained by Allah Ta'ala, and to believe in taqdeer is one of the basic tenets of Iman, to believe in Taqdeer. And we believe in that 100% whatever Allah has written is going to come. So there are things which are difficult also in our lives. Some problems also they are written. For every person Allah has made it like that. So, and this is the great mercy and kindness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has informed us before the problem comes how to tackle the problem, how to handle the problem. So when the problem comes, you are prepared. So you handle it, and then Allah makes you successful. Allah Ta'ala, like you are going to write an exam, and the teacher prepares you properly, the Ustad. For everything in your exam, he prepares you. Now when your exam comes, you got no problem whatsoever. So for the believers, Allah has been so merciful and so kind. So before we discuss this few little points here, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has explained that when these problems come in a person's life, and they come for every person, for a sinful person, for a righteous, pious person, some difficulties sometimes, some financial problems, sometimes some arguments and fights in the family, at workplace, different, sometimes some loss of life, some all different types of problems do come. So when these problems come, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, we should resort to making dua to Allah Ta'ala. We should not become unmindful of dua. Many times when these problems come, if it's a financial problem, we think, who can help me out? Which friend can I go and see? Who can sort out this problem for me? But we don't think of dua. If it's a medical problem, we think of a doctor, immediately phone this doctor, phone the hospital, get an ambulance, etc. We think in those lines. Or whatever it is, normally that is our condition. But the first should be dua. And even a short dua. At that time we even just say, Hasbunallah, Allah, you enough for me. وَفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I got this problem here. I hand it over to you, my Allah. Whatever dua we can make, we make. And then the asbab and the means also we see, no problem. But it must not happen. We completely forget making dua to Allah Ta'ala. The second, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, Dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. To engage in the dhikr. Like for example, at the present time, what is this virus and all these problems, so on a continuous basis we should be making dua. We should ask ourselves also that am I really making dua that Ya Allah remove this virus from the surface of the earth. Am I making dua, Ya Allah open our masjids for us, open our madrasas, open the Haramain Sharifain, Hajj, Qurbani, everything. You open it. And Ya Allah, you remove this virus. So dua are we making? Then the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. By the dhikr of Allah, Allah's mercies pour down. And then to be steadfast on deen. That is, when it's now, if any problem come, our namazes mustn't become qaza. That now we are not making our, we are just involved in that problem there. Now we are not seeing to our namaz, we are not seeing to our other aspects of our deen. That also we should see to. And one very important thing with that, tilawat of Quran Sharif. And these are such things that perhaps they don't make sense to us. So we don't pay attention also. But really these are the things that solve our problems. And if we will go in that direction, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will help us. So these few ayat here, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made it very clear, and this shows the great mercy of Allah Ta'ala upon the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah says, when these problems come, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, who are the friends of Allah, the people of Iman, that I am telling you, when problems come, ista'inu, seek help. Now we seek help in other things, we want to sort out our problems with other things, what other, some rules, regulations, etc. Allah says, seek help with sabri wa salah, with two things, sabr and namaz. If you will do those two things. Sabr, Allah explains in front, we will discuss it just now, that what is referred to as sabr here. Sabr, in all different occasions, has got different connotations, different meanings. And the other is namaz. Namaz we all know. So, for these problems, each one, I ask myself, did I make two rakats of Salatul Haja? This is namaz, that Ya Allah remove this virus from the earth. Perhaps we haven't done that. We'll talk a lot about it. And we'll waste our time in all conspiracy theories. all other things, arguing, this is right, that is right, this must be done, that must not be done, but the real solution is with Allah, and we haven't turned to Allah. And yet, I am still convinced I am a very good Muslim, and I know how to handle all the things, but I haven't, as far as practical life, made two rakats of namaz to sort out this problem. Eh? And much more than that, with the namaz, we keep some rozas also, we make some mannat also, we give some sadaqah also. Really, this will sort out the problems, but we don't go in that direction. It is a matter of speaking and listening. But to do what we are, and we also, that we think that this, these are not the solutions. Let there be some seminar, let there be some workshop, we pay 2, 3, 5,000 rand for a seat there, then that will make sense to us. And that will be almost assured, they will teach you nothing right. Everything will be wrong. It will be the opposite, but for that, and what the Quran teaches, in which Allah has made it, that these teachings always will be free of charge. Eh? And perhaps also all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam came, they taught free, the people didn't pay heed. Perhaps if they also should have workshops, perhaps then people should listen. But they just gave their da'wah in their simple way, straightforward way. May Allah not make us amongst those people who don't pay heed. And we listen to the call of Allah Ta'ala, the call of the Quran. Then Allah declares, as far as sabr is concerned here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those people who make sabr. So if Allah is with a person, everything, Allah's power, Allah's qudrat is so great, and Allah is with you, everything is with you. But we must make the sabr. Like for example, Allah says when you make namaz, you are in namaz and I am seeing to all your needs outside namaz. We have left our shops, we left all our work, we came for namaz. But Allah says if you are in namaz, if not only our body is here in the masjid, but we are not in namaz. We are still sorting out the problem while we are in the masjid. We are thinking what I must do, what this I must check, all those things. But we be in namaz. And Allah will take over and handle all our matters. But we must do what we have to do. We all, this is our human nature, that we want to do what is not in our control. And we expect our problems to get, what we can do, we must do that. We must be in namaz. Yeah, we must make sabr. So if further Allah Ta'ala says that in the highest level of the sabr and exercising this help of Allah is jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And when a person makes jihad, the highest level, Allah Ta'ala gives the highest return also. So Allah says with regard to those people, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not regard them as dead. These people are alive. The shuhada, they don't die. They only get transferred from this dunya to that dunya, and they enjoy a much more superior life than this life of this dunya also. And at the moment with the plague, dying in a plague is also shahadat. Not that level of shahadat that you fight in the path of Allah, but this is also shahadat. So really a Muslim should not be afraid of this. That if he has to die, he gets a mort of a shaheed. So how fortunate is in that? And when a person will see that, then he will realize, fortunate are those that with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the heart are open, and we can realize the value of that shahadat. A person won't be afraid of this mort then. But today, we are so afraid, and the enemy, which is shaitan, right on top with all his agents, they have put fear into us completely. For dying, everyone is afraid to die. And we want to do everything not to die, which is called in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear wahan on my ummah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was asked, what is wahan? He says, love of dunya and the dislike for death. Death is supposed to be like the believer. The Quran Sharif challenges the Jews that you people claim, the Jews, that you love of Allah, if that is the case, then desire mort. Because you can only reach Allah when through mort. That is the way. So if we consider, if I myself, that do I want to die? If I love Allah, I want to reach Allah. And the way to do that is through mort. Do I love mort or not? If I don't love it, then we have to make effort on our iman. Our iman is still far then from where it is supposed to be. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, the shuhada, they are living. And they have a very superior and a very enjoyable life. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive. But you don't perceive. You don't understand. Before us, until the eyes of the heart are not open, iman hasn't gone into the heart. Till that time we cannot understand. Even we'll read this in the Arabic, the Quran Sharif, but it won't go into our hearts. If we might read it with all the different qiraats, we will know all the tafsirs of it also, but it's not in our heart. We still are afraid. Then Allah Ta'ala says, very beautifully Allah shows now the lesser levels of this making sabr. The highest is for jihad. That is the highest level, jihad. And jihad, fi sabilillah. For li'ala'i kalimatillah. That is the highest level. Then all the other types of shahadat also come in. Then for us as practical, ordinary Muslims, Allah Ta'ala explains, and Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi gives a very beautiful explanation of this. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. We will test you with a little bit of khawf, fear. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, this fear is the fear of Allah Ta'ala. That we should fear Allah Ta'ala. So that fear we should have. Allah will test us. That must I do this? Must I not do this? Must I obey the commandments of Allah? Must I obey somebody else's commandments? Which commandment? Whose commandment? So everywhere, so Allah will test us with that. Will jua, hunger. The fasting of the month of Ramadan, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. Allah will test us. Will you keep the fast or not? وَنَقْسُمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. And your wealth, I will take away, diminish your wealth. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, that is zakat. That I will ask you for zakat. Then that, and it is only 2.5%. And Allah has made our deen so easy. For the Bani Israel, their zakat was 25%. We only 2.5%. They had to give quarter of their wealth away. And their deen was difficult. If any impurity had touched the skin, they had to cut out the skin. We only have to wash it, that's all. But they had to cut it out. Allah has made our deen very, very easy. And this is all in the sadqa of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, wal-anfus, naqsim of lives. Lives also Allah will take. People will pass away. And this happens all the time. Not only now with this disease and virus. People, sometimes my father passes away. Sometimes my mother. Sometimes my brother. So Allah will test us with that also. Wasamarat. And your fruit also, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, your children. Sometimes I will take your children away also. And that also happens. Many people, the children pass away in their lifetimes, they go away. Now after all this, then the sabr, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who will make sabr. And now who are those people who make sabr? May Allah let us understand this. And this come. Namaz we understand. Two things we have to do. Sabr and namaz. Namaz we all understand. But Allah give us tawfiq to do it. Not just that we say yes and then we don't make it. Even after this, if I haven't made till today two rakats of Salatul Hajjah for this virus to go away. One family member is sick. One friend is sick. A neighbor is sick. Did I make some dua? Did I make some namaz? Some salatul hajah for that Allah give them shifa? Many times even dua just we don't make. we just say, make dua, yes, yes, inshallah, Allah, we will make dua. But really, do we make dua? Dua must actually, we must have take out time. And one is duas like we read of Munajat Maqbool. That also are duas, mashallah. But normally we just read it also like tilawat. But we should make the dua. And one is dua for our necessities. And one is a person's life is going normal. He hasn't got any need. He's got enough income. He's eating, he's sleeping, everything is going normal. But there is the love of Allah we have to ask. To have the true iman, to have nisbat with Allah, to have connection with Allah, to have the true love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For these things also we should make dua. And then for general conditions also, and especially now with the conditions prevalent, how much more shouldn't we devote ourselves to dua? So those people, Allah Ta'ala says, these are those people, الَّذِينَ إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Whenever any difficulty, hardship, musibat reaches them, which Allah mentioned before, then they are those people who says, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, we belong to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and we will return to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali explains this very beautifully. The first part, Inna Lillah, that definitely we belong to Allah Ta'ala. If a person understands this, that I don't belong to myself, I don't belong to my wife, I don't belong to my children, to this community, to that organization, I belong to Allah Ta'ala. And really, we haven't made ourselves. Our parents didn't make us, we didn't make our children. Only Allah is the maker. We 100% belong to Allah Ta'ala. When a person, this is reality, when this reality comes. Today, I want to do things like this for my nafs sake, for my pleasure, not for Allah's pleasure. If we understand this, ikhlas becomes an automatic thing. Allah is my, I belong to Allah, I must do everything for Allah. Like a slave who is a slave of his master, nothing belongs to him. He can't eat what he wants to, he can't dress as he wants to, everything what his master. So the real master is Allah, and we are all the slaves of Allah. So we should try to consider, to work on this, to think about it, that I belong to Allah. That I'm fully, 100%, I don't belong to any country. I don't belong to any community. I belong to Allah Ta'ala. So if that is there, then mentally we will accept wholeheartedly all the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So this is not just a simple ayat that we read, also Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. But there is lot of meaning in it. May Allah let us understand that. And the other, Wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. And that we are all definitely going to be returning to Allah Ta'ala. We have come here not to stay here. We have come here not to live here. We have come here to die. And the only thing that is 100% certain is mort. Whether I will get this virus or not is uncertain. Whether I will live till tomorrow or not is but mort is one thing which is 100% certain. So if a person has that and he understands this ayat, the short phrases of this ayat, that I have to return to Allah, then we won't have all this great panic and all this great worry and fikr that we have got and all the things that we want to do to stop it, etc. Mort is inevitable. And this bimari for whom musibat is written, nobody can stop it. And nothing can stop it. It is in the hands of Allah, and who Allah wants to, we can take all the precautions. And if Allah wants to, it will happen. And we take no precautions, and Allah doesn't want to, it can't happen. It is in, so this inna lillah, that وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that reality, may Allah make it, it comes into us. So mentally we accept that I belong, and really Allah, let us go back from here, myself, all, and we think that I don't belong to myself also, I belong to Allah. And as Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, when we belong to Allah, Allah can do with us as He pleases. He created us. He nourishes us. He sustains us. Everything is of Allah Ta'ala. It is not of us. I don't have any choice of my own also. It is all in the hands of Allah. And that I'm going to return 100% to Allah. There is a different thing whether I will return with Iman or without Iman. It is a different thing whether I will return with Islam or without Islam. But I am, all are going to return to Allah. Everyone will return to Allah Ta'ala, and we all know generally that what it will be in the qabr, the three questions. There's then the whole long stay in the qabr, and then on the day of Qiyamah what it will be like, and that questioning, the five questions on the day of Qiyamah, and after that the decision of either Jannat or Jahannam. So that is a reality. So anyway, for those people who realize the value of this ayat, short ayat, very little, but see how great the reward is by which we can understand that ayat is short, but the meaning is very, very great. Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim. These are those people on whom there is salawat from Allah. Salawat is exclusive for the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Like we read Durood Sharif, salawat on Rasul, salawat on the Anbiya, this is exclusive for the Anbiya. But Allah gives a real connection of that salawat, which is for the Anbiya, for those people who know Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. We won't be Anbiya, out of the question. But that salawat which Allah sends on the Anbiya, for those, so this Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, is not a small thing, but you can get the salawat, the very special mercies of Allah which are exclusive for the Anbiya. Allah gives us a taste of that. That is when this Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un is in our lives. So that very special mercies of Allah will be there. Wa rahma, and Allah's general mercy also will be there. For these people who just, it's not just a matter of just reading Inna Lillahi qalu Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, but that reality comes, then this very special mercy. Further Allah says, wa ulaika humul muhtadun, and it is these people who have got hidayat. Those people who know the meaning of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, and they make, those people who make sabr, they automatically, they say these words, what is reality, what is complete real meaning, they say it. So Allah says, these are those people who have got hidayat. So in order to have that hidayat, and without hidayat, we are completely lost. And just imagine you are somewhere, recently in one town, little town, elderly couple, they just decided to go for a drive. They didn't lock their house also. And they got so lost, they landed up in an indigenous area. And they were lost, they knew nothing where they are or what. Those people showed mercy, took them, brought them back to the Indian area there. When they came there, they still were lost. They don't know where is their house. They showed them the masjid, say, yes, masjid is there, where is our house? They don't know. So a person who is lost, if we, with all our memory, we are lost. If we haven't found Allah Ta'ala, we haven't understood Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, we are lost people. We might be thinking that I'm very clever and I know everything and but we are totally lost. And on the day of Qiyamah, with not 10, 20 billion people from Adam a.s. till Qiyamah's day, and a person has to be lost there. He doesn't have anyone to show or to help him, no one to care for him. If anyone had a little experience, for example, just in Hajj, or sometimes in our little ijtimas, but in Hajj and you are lost, and you don't know where you have to go, you don't know anyone. you don't know what to do, and especially if it's a woman who got lost, and she doesn't know who to turn to, what language she doesn't know. She hasn't got money, she doesn't know who to turn to, what will be on the day of Qiyamah. So to have this hidayat is to know the meaning of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, that we belong totally to Allah Ta'ala. And who realizes this? Allah makes that, pulls that person, jazb. Allah draws him and Allah keeps him with him. And Allah, and that we know we are going to be returning to Allah, we live our lives like that. Not to build up bank balances here, not properties here, not things here. Allahu Akbar, here in this world, some person, we have some properties in some country, everything goes down in that country, that very property that you were hoping will be a source of your support in life becomes your liability. Now you have to be paying the rates and taxes and you are getting nothing from there. And you are just have to, you are liable, and the interest is accruing on you. And you got no choice. You can't say that I don't want to pay the interest. What a difficult thing. So it is that we turn to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us this reality. Also with this, that Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, in the Hadith Sharif it comes, that when a person will add also, that oh Allah, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. This musibat of mine, you take me out of it. Then Allah to wakhlufni khayran mina, and give me something better in its return. Allah Ta'ala gives much more better in return. So the difficulty that came, Allah changes it into a ni'mat. A musibat came, a difficulty came, but just that we observed it correctly, Allah changes this now into a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us the tawfiq, and at these times especially, this is a ready-made cake in front of us, to take everything from Allah Ta'ala. That we just have to apply ourselves, and this short verse which is common, our little children know this verse also. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But the truth is, we don't know it still. We know the words, perhaps outward words, but the what it is, with so much of its fazail. And this is one of the khususiyats of this ummah. It is reported that no one was given these words before. If it was given, it should have been given to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam when he lost his son Yusuf alayhi salam. He lost his son Binyamin. And then he said, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. Had he heard these words, he should have read Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi. There is a khususiyat of this ummah. One of the special things which Allah gave this ummah. So much of virtues on this, but we just take it so commonly. Allah give us all tawfiq that we try to understand this, bring it into our lives, and enjoy the present situation also. Not to have this panic and this fear and all, that we have to distance ourselves from other people. The son don't want to go and see his father also. Father don't want to go and see the son also. That was not at all meant from Allah Ta'ala. All this was brought by Allah to bring us closer to Allah. Let us not go away from Allah. Let us come to Allah. Run towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah is enough for us. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.